We gotta take him.
Dwayne, you're a psychopath.
Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast.
Well, I guess I shouldn't be dropping the sucker on the ground, but...
Well, I mean, there's worse things that you could do in life, I guess.
Well, though. I guess you could drop other things on the ground, huh? And if that ain't a segue, I don't know.
Oh,
what
yeah,
is.
You got that hit, huh? BBD.
BBD, baby.
Brown buck down.
And that's not racial.
That's not... That ain't sexual. That ain't nothing.
That ain't this. That ain't that.
That's just straight truth, son. Yeah.
Let's hear about it. What happened?
The Flatlands Field and Foul Boys are officially...
We're double tagged out on...
Tagged out of whitetail.
How about that, huh?
How about that? Yeah, it was a crazy evening for the boys.
Yeah.
Crazy day all in,
last night.
In general. Yeah, last night. Got her done with not much shooting time left.
No. So, let's start at the beginning of this story.
Let's start at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
We haven't done, because we didn't do an update.
Nope.
We were going to do one.
Yep. And I'm still working on uploading that other podcast.
Okay. So,
we'll release this one. I don't know. We'll give it a few days.
In sequential order.
Oh.
So, it is our sixth, right now it is our sixth day.
It is September the 9th.
September the 9th.
And,
yesterday morning.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a late start later.
But we headed west.
But we decided that it was time to head west. So we piled in the truck.
We headed west back to where we had originally wanted to camp.
Yeah, our original starting point. Our jumping off point.
JOP1.
Yeah. That would have been OP1.
Yeah.
So we jumped in the truck, headed west. And we drove for, we meandered our way there.
Probably about an hour.
A little less than, because we stopped to hike up the mountain.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Stopped to hike up the mountain there.
Got
a good view. And actually, while we were up there, we spotted a couple.
Some grain fields
that we figured,
some cereal.
Yeah, it might be worth going to check out. Now, we knew that those grain fields were not in
our zone,
our hunting area.
I just got to say, though, my supper is banging.
Yeah, you got that chicken and
carrots and potats.
Surprised you didn't chuck a little rice in there, make it a true backwoods jambalaya.
No, I didn't have any. I didn't want to steal any of yours.
Oh, I got lots left, man.
Yeah, I know. I figured.
Could have.
I'm eating my potats. So we head west.
Get a good viewpoint.
We're doing that western style glassing.
Yeah, sitting up on a high point, and
We head west, and we get back in our hunting zone, and we find this trail, and we decide, let's go for a hike.
Yeah.
And, we found quite a few wolf tracks out there, actually.
Yeah, so let's back up now. We were doing some map work, kind of as we pulled off the side where we found some service. Had to make some phone calls back home. And so we found this logged out area.
Like fairly freshly logged out.
Fairly fresh. So we decided we're going to start there.
There was trees laying there, so.
Yeah, well, there's an excavator there, too.
Yeah. So, very freshly.
Very freshly. So, we
meander on in there.
Across this big open meadow.
Yeah.
Beautiful meadow.
Oh, yeah.
Like something you would see in Idaho. I would assume. So, we're walking.
You would see in some kind of big game western states hunt.
Yeah. Big sky country.
Yeah. That Montana.
That Montana hit,
maybe,
boy.
Maybe that's a Wyoming idea that we had there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll say Wyoming.
Yeah, we'll say Wyoming.
Because they have a bit of a mix of everything there. Mountains, plains, rolling.
You name it, they got it.
Yeah.
Similar to the ducks.
Apparently. Holy.
Good night.
You want some sand? Okay, I'll find it for you. You want some dirt? Okay, I'll find it for you.
There were points where I was like, oh, am I walking in my back 50 here?
Is this Zoda? Is this Grunthal? Is this Sandyland?
Is this Mitchell? What? Is this, like, yeah, it was crazy. The terrain we've encountered out here.
Yeah.
So we meander our way through there, and our way in, we spot a couple big wolf tracks at where... Yeah.
It wasn't too many, though. It was, like, what, three? Three different wolves?
Three different wolves, but they were fairly big.
Yeah.
There was for sure a mama with a pup.
Yeah.
There. So we had, we decided, you know, we're going to take it slow and kind of watch our six and, you know, just be, play it smart.
Because we both had close wolf encounters.
We both have had wolf encounters that make you second guess having another wolf encounter in your lifetime.
Yes. And that's just natural.
If you want to hear those stories, they are on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe you'll find, maybe we'll find a link to the, what episodes they are. We'll figure out what episodes they are.
I think one of them's called White Tails and Wolves or something.
Yeah. And then yours was last year, hunting season.
Whatever it was in fall, October-ish. Maybe September, I don't know. Just listen to all of the
episodes. Yeah, just actually get them all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Mama says.
Yeah.
Mama says listen to all the Flatlands Field and Foul podcasts.
She says, hey, listen to them all.
Twice.
Twice.
Get some good information. And have a laugh or two.
Yeah. Please, mostly have a laugh.
And mostly have a laugh. We do this for fun.
Okay, so we're following
Kesel,
this trail.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So we follow this trail. We see a couple wolf tracks, and we spotted some fresh deer sign as well up there.
Mm-hmm.
And
did we see some elk tracks, too?
Yeah, we saw some fairly fresh elk track.
Yeah.
And so we hike in about 3 miles.
Roughly.
Now, we had stopped throughout the kind of the hike to, we found really good glassing points.
Yep.
That we'd sit and, you know, watch for 15, 20 minutes, let some calls out and whatever.
Water.
Found this beautiful little meadow into a valley, into a meadow up the hill with bush on one side that we both agreed that.
There should be critters in there.
If there was an elk video to be watched.
It would be there.
It would be shot on location.
Yeah. But clearly it wasn't.
Clearly it wasn't. And by the time we wrapped up there, it was probably 3:30 somewhere in there. Because we figured, well, let's push down the trail and see what that cut has to say yet.
Yeah.
And so we knew it was about a mile away.
So we made for it.
So we went for it. I mean, we were hunting the whole way.
Naturally.
Naturally hunting the whole way. And and as soon as we came out of that other cut, the one that where that meadow was, we started seeing tons of elk sign.
Yes.
There were tracks galore there.
Yeah, and we kept pushing into this old cut.
Found lots of bear scat.
Tons of, like, day olds or morning olds.
Yeah, some wolf scat as well.
Mostly bears, though.
Mostly bear.
So, I mean, and I know some folks out there are like, oh, bear scat, that's not good. Well, when we're walking down a old forestry cut road like that, and there's bear scats along the game trail, it's not a super big deal.
No.
But yeah, we're minding our six and everything.
I mean, you pay attention, right? Yeah. You start paying a little more attention. I mean, the other thing is black bears aren't necessarily predatory either. Not like a grizzly will be.
No.
That's where a grizzly will sit back on a ridge and he'll almost cougar-like jump you.
Pretty near.
Charge out at you. Black bears tend to be a little more afraid of human encounters than
nonetheless, we had our wits about us.
Yep. Especially with the wolves.
Yep.
So we hiked in this back fork. There's a fork in the road. And we decided that we were going to go south.
Yeah.
Because it was closer. And B, we were at that time of the day where, you know, we start thinking about heading back, especially with our wolf encounters, not wanting to walk back in the dark.
And the bear scat.
And the bear scat, right? So we figured, well, let's go check that south part there and see what's up there. And then
we were trying to get to the edge of an ag field out there.
Yeah, we were, because some local intel had suggested that maybe that was the place to go.
Yeah, which borders our hunting area.
Which is not illegal to hunt the property line as long as you do not shoot an animal on the other side of that.
That is correct.
You wait till he gets in there, or she gets in there, depending on what.
The critter.
The critter.
Even though that's a very long walk.
Very long hike out.
Yeah. That's a real western hunt right there.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a couple mile. That would have been 3 mile pack out. That would have been Cam Haines style.
Who actually shared my video this morning.
Of you Cam Haines-ing a whitetail.
Thanks to you for capturing
that. Hey, absolutely, man. It was a pleasure.
Shout out to Cam Haines. If you want to see a legit Western style bow hunter that doesn't quit for nothing. That's the guy.
That's him.
If you want to get fired up, go check out his page.
If you want to get fired up, also check out Jocko Willink and David Goggins.
Yeah, and Andy Stumpf.
Yeah, those
and,
boys are...
Well, second most importantly, John Dudley. Knock on TV, baby.
Of course.
Woo!
And Dakota Meyer, another beauty.
Yeah.
But anyways, we could go on about the shout-outs. So we got to this, we got to the end of this cut, and... determined that it was so thick and tall and like this had been logged out now maybe
probably 20 years.
I'd say 25 years. Yeah, that's where I was going to say 25.
Yeah.
Just
based on what I've seen in Sandylands, that's probably close to 20 years.
Yeah. You know, everything's about 10, 12 feet tall, not thick, but just enough to make you struggle through it on the tree side. And then the grass is pretty tall.
Fairly thick.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as thick as the south of our camp here.
Let's not get into that.
That is thick tip.
It's miserable.
That is awful. I wouldn't wish that on my
enemy. That's the Lord saying, stay out of here.
Yeah, that's the big guy saying, nah, you don't need to go back here.
Yeah. We're good. We're good back here. We got it.
So we sit up on a glass and grab a little bite to eat and grab some water, and we're kind of game planning it. And we look at Dwayne looks at his watch and, you know, it's time to get rolling. Like we're going to have to hustle to get back already. And we ended up making really good time.
We made amazing time.
I always forget how much time we can make up when we're not hunting our way back. Like we were obviously still hunting, right?
But we were being 50% less hunting.
Yeah. We took about 50% off the top.
Yeah.
You know, where you're...
We were trying to make ground.
Yeah, because we did not want to be walking out in the dark.
No, because that usually ends up with wolves close by.
Yeah.
And, well, we're undefeated so far, but, you know, that could change.
That could change in a friggin' heartbeat. So,
we're trying to keep that undefeated.
Yeah, we're trying to keep that Khabib record.
Yeah, that Khabib record.
So we get back to the truck. And decide, well, you know what? We got a little bit of time yet. Let's go check out what we thought at the time was a hydro line.
Yeah. Which was actually a sled trail.
Yeah, it was just a cut.
Yeah, just a cut sled trail, which is kind of cool.
But the way that it was cut into the land on the map, with it being so straight, I mean, everything at home would dictate...
Oh, power line.
A power line. Yeah. And into the white shell where we hunted before. So we're coming back, and we hit our gravel road, and... We're, you know, we go past the mountains, go through the valley there, Ice Creek Road.
Beautiful out there.
Beautiful.
Ice Creek Road, baby.
Ice Creek Road.
That's that Yukon hit in Manitoba.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, also, we got about 4 miles from Saskatchewan yesterday.
Yeah, we were, like, right against the border.
Which is cool.
You pretty near pee across it.
Yeah.
If you had to pee that bad.
I think I know a fellow that might be able to do 4 miles.
Honestly, I think I know a fellow that could probably, if he really pinched it, you should get that, you know, it's like, you know, that garden hose trick, right? When you need a little bit of power on your garden hose,
what did you say the other day? Well, the difference between a dad and a father.
Oh, getting someone pregnant makes you a father. Kinking the hose and pretending that it's plugged just to get your child to look into it and then releasing Old Faithful makes you a...
Makes you a dad.
Makes you a dad. Yeah. So we're headed back down the road, and we spot this buck, this little forky. At the time, we thought it was a spike.
Yeah. No, it was a fork, though. Yeah.
In this cut.
Back in our zone.
Yeah. In this cut, about 120 yards, standing broadside right there.
Yeah, right there.
So we stop the truck, and...
We think, well, let's go for a walk.
You're
in your Crocs.
I was in my Crocs.
Because you were getting relaxed already.
Yeah, I was getting ready to get around a fire and start having a rye.
Having a rye, okay.
And the thought crossed my mind that, you know what? It's still early enough in the year. These bucks are bachelored up.
Oh, yeah. They'll be bachelored up for a month yet.
Yeah. So I figured, well, maybe he's with somebody. So we grabbed the bow and the release, and Dwayne grabs his rangefinder. Because at this point, I mean...
We were pretty relaxed.
We were relaxed. You were also tagged out, so you can't shoot.
Yeah.
Unless there's a wapiti there.
Which there wasn't.
Which there wasn't.
So.
So we follow him back.
Down this cut.
We're walking, and every time, like, he'd get to about, like, 7-8 yards and stop. And just...
Yeah, he got nice and close.
Yeah, like, I could have dang near petted him.
Yeah.
If I really wanted him, I probably could have killed him with a knife. Yeah.
So we thought we'd walk down a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further.
And he keeps going up the cut, yeah. Right? And then he, you know, he'd let us get close and he goes up the cut. And so as we're walking up now, we've walked in probably
a few hundred yards
for sure.
Yeah.
Good
thing we turned off the truck.
Yeah. Would have been burning fuel. So.
Yeah. And missing tunes.
Missing tunes.
Yeah.
So,
we're walking up there.
We're walking up there.
I'm in, you know, semi.
Yeah, I got an arrow knocked.
Yeah.
Not that I'm thinking about taking this Forky, but, you know, just in case something decides to come out.
I'm throwing you ranges on the Forky just yep. because.
Yeah, just to, you know, get our communication down pat. Yeah. And out of the side of the cut, this buck stands up.
He starts moving.
This pretty wide 4x4.
Yeah.
And he kind of goes up the trail a little bit, probably about 25, 30 yards.
And he's not in velvet.
He's not in velvet. And he stops. He goes up the trail about 25 yards, and he stops. And he starts actually working his way back down towards him. We were standing perfectly still at this point, right? Just like you would with a deer. You know, you just stand still and let him do his thing.
And he went back into the bush there.
Yep.
And
kind of button hooked and started going. So if we were walking north, he started kind of going north, northeast.
Yeah.
And then he started licking a branch.
Yeah. And then was it right about there? Got you a range?
Got me a range at about
40 yards.
No, he was more than that. No. He was more. When he was licking that branch, he was about 60.
No.
Yes, he was.
No.
I remember you calling out 60 at that point. Because that was before we moved up the trail yet.
Okay, whatever.
So we moved up the trail.
That's neither here nor there.
We moved up the trail and we waited. And that Forky decided he was going to come back to the trail, to the cut, and that buck followed him. And he walked in.
And they were kind of talking to each other.
Yeah, they were.
Like.
Yeah, it looked like they were just hanging out. They were buddies.
They weren't at the lake, but
no, they were
hanging out.
Yeah, they're hanging out in off work hours.
Yeah,
grabbing a little bite to eat, and you know, playing around, doing what boys do.
Old man, the older fella teaching the younger fella.
Yeah, a little bit of a guidance there.
Yeah.
Obviously not a good one.
But hey,
it's some guidance nonetheless. So he come in.
Some beats,
and
on, baby.
Dwayne starts kind of ranging him and giving me ranges. And, you know, he walks in from, you know, he's like, okay, he's at 40 or 50. Oh, he's at 40. And then, you know, in my mind.
He stops there, right?
He stops there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's game time here. Like, this is the buck that I'd be willing to take. We want to notch my tag on. It's game time. So I'm looking around and I see a nice shooting lane, you know, nice opening in the trees. I think, okay, if he gives me an opportunity and stops there,
we're good.
We're good. I'm punching it. Yeah, and so I said, if he stops in that lane, I'm punching him.
Yeah. So I tell you, 40 yards ish.
Yeah. 40 yards. And he comes back down. And I believe the last range he gave me was 35, somewhere in there. Cause I was still set for 40.
No, he came in and he came close to, I think it was 25.
No, you never arranged me at 25. You never gave me a range at 25.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. I'll tell you that right now. No, you didn't. The last range I got from you was 35. And I was still set for my 40 pin.
Okay.
So he stops in that tree, in that shooting lane. I center my pin. I have my anchor point already. I'm good. I'm drawn back. And I let the arrow fly. And as I let the arrow fly, he starts taking a step. And I watched the arrow go into him. And the first thing I said was, I hit him forward. I hit him forward.
Yeah, he said that.
And you said, no, it's good. And I said, nope. I hit him forward. That was not a good shot. And so he books it through the bush. And
he stops.
And then he stops. He crosses the cut and stops. And at this point, he's ran about 75 yards.
Roughly, yeah. But he kind of like, he ran and he would stop and he would move.
And he would try and walk, yeah. And he was hobbled pretty good.
And fairly early on, I just, maybe you didn't catch it, but I noticed that he seemed a little bit wobbly.
See, and I was a wreck because I one thing that I struggled with when I killed my last buck was that shot placement being very high.
Mm-hmm.
And
similar to the one I shot the other day.
I was not thrilled with it. So anyways, I was at this point just hoping and praying that he was going to go down. I really didn't care if he ran another 100 yards. I just wanted to watch him go down. So he stopped and I can't see my arrow.
Yeah.
In his shoulder.
I don't recall it either.
And I thought, well, I don't think I passed through him completely.
Because I was watching the whole time.
Yeah.
Like pretty attentively. And I mean, I wasn't looking for the arrow. I was looking for his reactions.
Yeah.
And I was getting more and more confident that he was in trouble when you were kind of being doubtful, which is fair.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
I think I was more confident when he stopped on the edge of the cut.
Yeah.
Like when he stopped, that's a hurt deer. A wounded deer, sorry, I shouldn't say that. A deer that's not generally mortally wounded would probably have kept running.
Could be, yeah.
In my opinion, I think a deer that, like, if you would have gut shot at him, or if I would have gut shot at him, sorry, I think he would have kept running. We would have been tracking him for miles.
That's a good point, because I have wounded a deer and he kept going and going, and then I lost the blood trail, and I was lucky that he showed up on the camera a few days later.
Yeah,
this is some years ago, but yeah, there's something to that.
That's my opinion from whatever little bit of experience I've had with it. From watching other people and helping other people drag deer. So I'll watch him, and finally he drops. And it felt like it was 15 minutes. Maybe it was probably no more than five.
Yeah, no more than five, definitely.
But it felt like it was an eternity. And we watched him go down, so we gave him a minute.
I watched him go down, and I watched you through that sea of emotions.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Which is fair.
I'll be very, very real. After the last 2 years of hunting I've had, 2 years ago, the year after I shot my buck, it was a struggle bus. It didn't matter what I did. I couldn't do anything right. Like, either I'd bust bucks coming in to the stand, or I'd bust them coming out, or, you know, they just weren't there. I had a rough time hunting 2 years ago, and then last year was a rough time hunting for other reasons. I didn't get out nearly as much as I wanted to.
But we did get after Phil and Cy.
We did get after Phil and Cy, which is a big up for last year. But then having Cy at 22 yards and not being able to pull the trigger on him was a bit of a kick in the gut. But that's hunting. You're going to have the bucks you want come up and not be able to pull the trigger on them. That's just life.
Been there, done that. I've had wet powder.
Mm-hmm. Or else the Gerhardt story would be very different.
Yep. And it's not.
But we know how that story ends.
Yep. He continued to pass his genes along.
With genetics.
Yep.
So, yeah, he dropped. We gave him a little bit of time, and
it seemed like he kind of disappeared into these very short little pine trees, and then he disappeared, and then it to me it seemed like he laid down, because I kept seeing the one moving.
Yeah.
And I thought when he walked in, I'm like, come on, just lay down, get caught in there. And I think I mentioned, it looks like he's caught in there, man. It looks like he's caught. And sure enough, he was caught in there, or maybe he laid down, and we could see the one tree move whenever he would kick or whatever. Maybe he'd shake, I don't know. And it just eventually, it just kind of stopped moving. I was like, okay, let's walk up there. Let's take a gander here. Let's go.
Yeah. So like I said, the last 2 years have been a bit of a struggle bus, and I've kind of felt like I lost that bit of the killer instinct that I used to have. But also, like, it was just two rough years for me in the hunting woods. Which happens. And so anyways, I was just about ready to cry when I didn't see him go down, because I was I was so choked about the shot. Like, I was so certain it was a poor shot. And the last thing I want to do as a hunter is watch an animal suffer. And because, I mean, it's my job to kill an animal as ethically as I can. And a big part of that is being able to place consistent shots. So we walk up to him, and first thing I noticed before I even saw him was the pool of blood that was laying in the middle of that cut.
Yeah.
Like, he was puking blood out of that wound.
I didn't even see that. I just walked up to the tree. I was like, oh, okay. Well, then you spotted him.
Yeah, I said, there he is. But I saw that. Yeah,
you were up beside me.
I saw that pool of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were to my right, and there was that evergreen tree kind of in the way, and he was in some pretty tall grass.
Yeah. There's a couple of those little suckers in the way there too.
Yeah. So I was able to get my hands on him and,
got the real reaction video.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. We both got one.
Similar
to
mine.
Yeah, we both got one this year. This year.
This week. Within a week.
Within 4 days.
Yeah. Saturday to Tuesday.
Saturday evening to Tuesday evening. Yeah. Yeah. Two tags notched, two tags punched. But yeah, it was good to get back on the board and have meat in the freezer. And obviously I'm very, very thankful for that opportunity. The shot now, nonetheless, ended up being actually decent placement for a quartering two arrow.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have been about 2 inches farther back towards the animal, like towards the rear of the animal.
Well, you punch right through the shoulder, right? Through the shoulder blade? Or do you sneak it right in front of there?
I never actually looked too much at the scapula. I should have.
Well, there was a lot of dark blood in there, we'll say. What's the word? Somebody's gonna correct me. Anyways. A lot of hemorrhaging going on.
Oh, there was a lot of hemorrhaging in that front shoulder.
And you know, I pulled the broadhead out of there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't even remember now. Anyways.
Regardless.
Anyways.
There was a lot of you know what? Those Rage broadheads, one of the reasons why I use them as consistently as I do is the fact that they give you that little bit of extra confidence on a poor shot. You know, I think back to my buck 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess 3 seasons ago. The shot looked high. And I even said that in the video that I took right away. The shot looked high. I mean, I ended up drilling straight through a lung. But because of how close he was to the stand and being 7 yards straight down, it was a tough angle. And this one, too, was a bit of a tough angle in that quartering, too, and trying to sneak it between, you know.
Trying to sneak it between the lines.
Between the lines, between that shoulder blade and that front sternum. That's a tough place to try and squeeze an arrow. Now, I will say this. I am not going to take all the credit on my shot because I said it immediately. I pulled the shot, and I know I did. Like, when I shot the arrow, the release, it did not feel like I've shot, you know, 100 times at a target. You know, when you're sitting there at 40 yards or 30 yards, 20 yards, whatever, and you pull that release and everything is right in the world,
yep.
And you just watch that arrow hit that bullseye and you're sailing them in. And it didn't feel like that. I torqued something a little bit and that probably threw my shot off a little bit. Anyways, he's down.
But that's neither here nor there.
He died.
But I digress.
He died quick. He left a good blood trail for us to find. Not that we really needed it. We saw him go down.
I knew where he was.
Yeah.
Or at least where he entered the bush.
Yeah.
And now he's in the back of your truck.
Now he's in the back of the truck in game bags.
How about that, huh?
I got some skulls to boil.
I reckon.
That might be another podcast. Boiling skulls at Crooked Antler Lodge.
Crooked Antler Lodge, yeah. How about that, huh?
No, but I do knit a little.
How about that? I guess that's...
That's the story.
That's the story of yesterday.
That's the story of yesterday. And we did not have a lot of shootable light left. I will say that.
Yeah, we fired up those tenderloins later on.
Yeah.
With some potats.
And some jambalaya. Some backwoods jambalaya.
Yeah. That stuff looked pretty deadly.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
This morning, we got a bit of a late start.
Well, we got a late finish to yesterday. Like, we only crawled back into the tent around 12, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. So that 12, was
31 o'clock.
Yeah. But this morning, what did we do? We headed out. Back to Big Buck Ridge.
Yeah, where we bumped that big guy.
Yeah. And you sat up on the ridge there, and I decided I'm going to walk through this big old
cut
forestry road. Yeah, this big cut. It's about a 2 mile loop, 2.5 maybe.
Yeah.
And so after I left you, then I bumped this nice looking 5x5, probably about a 120.
Nice. Plus.
I was walking slow, you know, I was hunting.
Sorry, before you go any farther on that.
Sure.
When we pulled back into camp.
Oh, we forgot about this.
We decided to check the glass and tit, and there was actually a dandy nice of a buck. There, he was super tall on his G1s.
Mm-hmm.
Super tall. I was actually really impressed with that buck. Not that I was that. I wasn't like, oh, shoot, I took the wrong deer.
Oh, I think that if you do that, it's not the end of the world to just say that.
I mean, I think every hunter would say, yeah, I'd like to take the biggest buck I can, but there's no way that we would have known, right?
Well, no,
exactly. And we would have actually been back earlier.
Yeah.
We would have never seen him unless we were sitting on the tit, which we were not planning on.
That's right.
Because we were tired from our 6 mile walk.
Yeah.
Which is okay. West. Which is okay. You should be tired after 6 miles hiking through that Struck.
Yeah. So, anyways, this morning, then, I left you sitting point on the ridge there. And I figured, I'm going to walk down here as far as I can make it. I didn't really check the map either. I just kind of had the idea there was this cut line or this old forestry road you could walk, which there was. Big old loop. And as I was getting to about as far as we'd walked down there the other day, then I heard this noise in the bush. And I thought, oh, okay. There's something in here. Maybe it's an elk. Maybe it's a wapiti. Maybe it's a forest horse.
Could be anything at this point.
Yeah. I mean, based on the topography, I was pretty confident it was not a bear. Also, there was no bear sign in that general area. But anyways. So, I just stop. I'm kind of hiding behind some small poplars. And this I see this deer pop out. Onto the trail, onto the cut. He steps out a bit more. He's about 20 yards. I didn't range, but I'm a pretty good guess. About 20 yards, roughly speaking. And I kind of make a step, and he looks. He turns around so fast, and he just crashes back to the bush. I totally scared him. I thought it was hilarious. It was like, dang, that's a nice buck, but that's too bad for him. That he's like crashing through there, like. Dude, just simmer down.
I'll just roll out. Take 50% off.
Take 50% off. Yeah, so, anyways, I kept going after that. I was just laughing to myself, like, you silly guy. I kept going. Because I was actually following an elk trail that I could see.
Yeah, that's
relatively
right.
Relatively fresh. So I followed this track for that whole loop, honestly. And then I ran into more elk tracks. But this elk track was so easy to follow. Because I could see it in the grass, so it was relatively fresh. I could see it in the grass, I could see it in the mud, I could see it in the gravel. And
which means it's fresh.
It's relatively fresh, yes. And then I kept going down this little loop there, and all of a sudden I run into more tracks going the other way, and then there's some little wet spots that I'm like, these could be wallows, but it was very inconclusive.
Tough to tell.
Yeah, and there wasn't, like, they weren't tore up, they were just little wet spots, so I'm guessing that they kind of, you know, once we got to about, I don't know, was it 3 o'clock, and I wasn't really tracking anymore.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get back, because that was our kind of decided time I'd be back, and I was late, like normal, but, you know, I was doing elk work.
But you also were communicating throughout the time that you were on an elk track, so I wasn't terribly concerned
that
you
had gotten wrong. Exactly. Yeah, I'm generally pretty careful, so. But
yeah, we took a very different approach to today.
Yeah, you sat up high, and I went for a long walk, hoping to maybe see something or push something towards you.
Yeah, I figured worst case, you'd either shoot something or push something towards me, and then I could maybe seal the deal.
Yeah, and after that buck I saw, I didn't actually see any other game, so that was kind of tough, but
yeah,
it was a good walk nonetheless.
Yeah, you got to see some scenery.
Exactly, some new country.
So we got back, we decided we were going to go up.
Oh, but you had a doe come right by you.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. I forgot about that. So we've basically been in LJ's for the last 4 days. It's been fairly cold in the mornings and all day for sure. And at night we were hitting, you know, right around -2 to -4. So we've kind of been in our LJs for the last 4 days straight. So you can imagine the funk that me and Dwayne are feeling right now.
Oh, there is a real funk.
Oh, it's a must. It's kind of gross. Thank goodness for that baby. Yeah, that's natural. Thank goodness for those baby wipe baths. So I decided, I was sitting there on the ridge in the sun and I was cooking. Good man, you gotta be wearing my steel toes out here. You just hit me with a piece of wood.
Tuck that guy on.
Nope, man, it fell off. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what? I gotta get out of these LJs. It's pretty warm. So I strip down, take my harness off, take my sweater off. Or actually I wasn't even wearing my sweater, I should say. I took my pants off, got out of my LJs, and I'm like, man, I gotta take a leak. But I'll wait till I get my pants back on because I don't really want to take a leak in the spot where I'm sitting. Yeah. And as I am standing there in my ginch, I hear some twigs break and some grass kind of shuffle. Dwayne's splitting wood here. You're
doing
getting the whole experience.
Work out here.
Yeah, just doesn't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. And this doe steps out at like 45 yards. Sees my pasty white legs and my fluorescent green ginch, decides she's got to come check this out. She's got to go see what's happening over here. So she walks into about...
And that's competition.
That's competition, yeah. She's like, oh, who's this buck? And she walks into like 17 yards. And I'm standing there thinking, I'm going to get attacked by a doe because they can attack occasionally.
Yeah.
I've seen dogs get the absolute daylights beat out of them by does. I'm thinking, she's going to attack me. I'm going to be in my ginch. This is not the way that I want to go out.
This is a real UFC.
This, yeah. Like, I'm looking like Anderson Silva out here. Just a heck of a lot more white. And not nearly as talented.
But that's neither here nor there.
So I'm standing there with my bow in my hand, in my ginch, on a rock. No shoes on either.
And that's natural for you.
And she, yeah, that's you know,
that's
you know,
par for the course.
You know, daddy doesn't like to wear proper footwear. He likes his Crocs and flip-flops. So yeah, she watched me there for a couple seconds and then decided that she was going to move on. But she didn't bust. Never, like, yeah. I'm surprised she didn't smell me because I'm sure half the section could smell me. But she just kind of looked at me, and the wind also was right in my face, so that helped. But she stepped off, went for a little gander down the trail, and never saw her again. But then after that, after you had bumped that buck, is when I started hearing footsteps around me in the valley just behind me.
Yep.
And you had mentioned the fresh elk, because we had talked before you had went there that I would come down if... You know, you got on some really good sign, or if, you know, you bumped an elk or something like that, I would come down and come give you a hand.
Yeah.
And I remember texting you. I said, like, I really don't want to move because if there's something near me, like, I don't want to spook it out if it is an elk by chance.
Yeah. And I saw that and I thought, okay.
Yeah. So then I was weighing in my head, like, do I just get up and try and get out of here quietly? But that's kind of difficult. And it's the terrain that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's kind of gravelly.
That little quarter mile there is pretty loud.
Yeah, it's hard to get in or hard to get out quietly.
Until you get on that cut that I was on where it's like that old logging road that's got a game trail, like an old cow path.
Yeah. So I figured the best bet would be just to sit tight and hope that whatever's behind me is going to step out, and hopefully it's a wapiti.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I found a hook from an old chain down there.
Oh, yeah?
Which I kept.
Right on.
Of course I kept.
Of course. A little memento.
Yeah. You use it.
Yeah. So after that, We linked back up. We sat there, had a little snack.
Had some water, some snack.
Kind of game planned it. And yesterday, when we were coming back, we found this little cut that we figured, hey, we should go check out. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, on the way there.
Woo! My feet stink.
A little ripe. Yeah. I don't even want to take my socks off, honestly. I smelled my boot there, and it smells like faint baby powder, but mostly foot funk. So it's going to need some baby powder tonight.
Yeah.
Here's a little tip. Little tip, tidbit, pro tip from a dipshit. All
right.
In the woods, when you're doing these hunts, bring baby powder with you. Not only will it help for you get a little, you know, because you funk. have funk, but, you know, you might get a little nerts chafing or, you know, a little zockbok.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, you know, you might have some chafage going on. Baby powder helps. And then you can also put it in your boots to dry them out from sweat from the inside. And also some moisture if your boots do get wet. And then they help them keep them smelling fresh. So your socks don't come home smelling like an absolute war zone.
Debauchery.
Yeah.
War zone.
War zone when you get home and your little lady says, time to do some laundry. And she goes to open up that pack, boy. You might not be having a little lady for much longer.
And she leaves.
Yeah, she says, I'm out. For that reason, I'm out. It's like an absolute shark tank out here. So, as we're going down, I thought, so you had taken the broadhead out of my deer.
Yeah.
And put it on my tailgate.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot it was there, so I just closed my tailgate.
Yeah. And it fell
out. So we went back and got it, which is still in your truck box. I have to remember to get that. Yeah.
It's open there.
Yeah, so we'll little memento from that buck.
Yeah.
I try and keep something from, I mean, obviously the antlers, but try and keep something. Like, I still have the arrow that I broke off in that deer.
Mm-hmm.
My first buck. And I
have the arrow from mine in that same year.
Yeah.
I had to take that broadhead off because I was running low on broadheads and
you can't find those grizz tricks anywhere. They're a pain to get.
I'm having a hard time finding them, so I think I might have to switch to something else.
I think this whole Corvid thing hasn't helped though either.
Probably that Corvid.
That's what the guy at Cabela's has told me too. That they're having a hard time with their suppliers. It's not even that they're not producing them; it's that they don't have packaging. Because most of the suppliers get their packaging from elsewhere, right?
Yeah,
like from China's.
Like everybody.
Everybody.
Doesn't matter what the article is.
Yeah. What the item is.
Yeah.
All the packaging comes from China's. So,
and they got that Wuhan flu.
They got that. Yeah, thanks, China. So we head back to that cut. We made it fright not very far in, and we were hitting swamp.
And it was like, we stopped, we sat down, we're like, we're going to check the map here. And we look, and it's just thick.
And it wasn't anything promising. We're like, okay, we just got to make another 50 yards or 100 yards or like whatever. It was like, this is going to be the whole way. And we thought, well, it's impossible to get in here quietly, for one. For two, I don't think the elk are in here. And there was no real sign other than the one track we followed halfway up where I think it veered off.
Yeah. And for three, it was straight up wetness and swamp. And
That's a good way to blow
it. The only other way through was thick bush.
Thick.
Like, how many seeds you want to tack on there? Probably like 9.
I was going to say 9 to 10 for sure. Super, super thick.
Just unideal. So,
and we didn't really want to blow out a knee or an ankle.
Yeah, I mentioned it. It was like we were walking through this tall grass, and you said it felt like being a pow and nom.
Yep.
And I said, well, we're just playing roulette with our ankles right here because we can't see what we're doing because it's like eye height grass.
It's like, how I don't know how many times I can spin that chamber and pull the trigger and just hope it doesn't go off.
So we decided to back out of there and then...
And we went back to...
Intervene and hit, GT2.
Went back to GT2. Oregon. And so I sat back up on the ridge, and you went to what we now know is a wallow.
Yeah.
Minus the wet part of it, which I'm thinking back on it, it could be where that brush was all raked. Yeah. I wonder if that's not part of it.
I think so.
Like, where that would have been where he's pissing and everything.
Legitimately, right at the top of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you sat up there, I sat down there.
And I started ripping cow calls.
And I started
joining. Can you hear me?
Oh, I could hear you clearly.
Okay. Because it was really cool because about an hour and a half. Yeah, I could hear you occasionally. Okay. I didn't know how often you were calling, though.
Well, I was calling different directions, too, so that
was really... Yeah, but it was really windy this afternoon when we got in there.
And then about 7:30
I was going to say, about an hour and a half until... Or about an hour until dark, it just calmed.
It was like, complete calm. It was immediate. So nice.
So we were calling and calling and calling, and I was walking the ridge trying to, you know, get direction, sound in different direction.
And I was sitting tight.
Yeah. Because we had figured if there was going to be a bull in the area, he'd be hitting that wallow. And that would be...
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned the other day, I did see a doe come out there anyways.
Yes, so. That's right. That I think that's on the other episode.
It might, but if not...
If not, it's here.
Yeah. I did see it, so I thought, well, maybe we'll see a doe again or something, or a spike, who knows. And I didn't. I saw nothing. I saw the sunset through the trees, and I saw mosquitoes.
Yeah, I saw a pile of those, too. They got worse as the sun went down.
Yeah. And then I could see my breath.
I can only see my breath when I started walking. It was pretty warm.
No, I could see my breath before that. And then I walked into the bottom of that wallow, that hole.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, it is very cold down here.
I'm going to head back up where the heat is. Yeah,
because that's like 15 feet down.
Yeah, it's a good drop.
Yeah.
I
was like, is this frost already?
You just slide down there, you're just about skiing.
Things was starting to get white down there, boy.
Yeah. You just about had a snowstorm down there, a little blizzard.
And that's not racial.
And that ain't racial, that's just nature, that's natural.
That's natural. And that's how they do.
So, I was up on that hill, and right about 25 minutes left of light, I heard a very suspicious bark slash grunt slash hee-haw of a donkey.
Hee-haw.
So either there was people that could hear me and were messing with me, which is possible.
Which is possible.
I'm not going to say that I had a response, but every time I would cow call, I would get a response out of whatever animal that was, and I've never heard a bird hee-haw like a donkey, in which I have seen videos on YouTube of bulls sometimes barking like that.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not saying that it was a bull.
I cannot confirm.
The possibility is there, but the possibility is there for a lot of things.
As Joe Rogan would say, it's entirely possible.
It's entirely possible. So that was kind of neat. I was, I sat there looking in the general direction that sound was coming from. I basically sat there on my pack. I was leaning up against my pack with my knees to my chest, with my binos out, just calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, sucker's going to come out right at the last light, and I'm going to see him, and I'm going to go, and we're not going to be able to put a move on him because it's dark. It's
dark, yeah. And that's natural.
And that's just the light cycles. That's night and day. And that's the way God made it.
And that's the Lord's work.
And that's the seventh day of rest, boy.
Yeah, it is.
So
we reconvened after that. And we cow called each other in.
Yeah, we were trying to locate.
We were like, oh, there's cows in there in this little, I was going to say pasture, but meadow.
Yeah, meadow.
So we had a little quick little standoff.
Did a little fake drawback there, yeah. We both had, would have been kill shots for sure. We were both
kill shots. So
instant, yeah.
Both technically dead.
Yeah. Playing little Cowboys engines.
Yeah, and so then we reconvened and headed back to camp, got a fire going, and made supper, and here we are.
Here we are.
Recording a PCast.
Having a couple liquor drinks. Yeah, I need a top off here.
I don't know, what else do we have to talk about today?
I don't know. That's kind of where we're at right now.
That's where we're at. It's been... So, actually, you know what? Let's do this. Because we did our expectations on what to expect.
Yeah. It's been tough.
So, what are your points right now that you're... Maybe give me 5 points, if you can think of them, on what you thought was similar to what you expected, and 5 points on what's very, very different.
Okay, 5 points on what is similar.
If you can count, or three, or whatever.
A few points,
yeah.
Okay, I anticipate a lot of walking, which we have done most days.
Most days, yeah.
I have anticipated thick bush and not seeing a whole lot. I anticipated
seeing deer, because deer are everywhere.
Oh, good.
I anticipated.
I'm at three now. Man. Is there a splash left?
Oh, I
got hang on, let me taste this here.
There's like a little bit of that.
I thought it was. I anticipated eating worse than I am right now.
Yeah, you've been eating well.
And I anticipated less cell service.
Okay.
And what I did not anticipate is seeing as few wolf tracks as we have, I did not anticipate not hearing any bugles. I did not anticipate. Oh, I'll just move this phone back here.
Oh, yeah.
I did not anticipate being as cold as I am in the morning.
Yeah, it's been frigid the last four days, like I said.
I did not anticipate the bush being this thick. I anticipated being thick, but not this thick. I did not anticipate. Ooh. Having such little result for such work. And that's on me. And I don't know, maybe I can not anticipate some more stuff here.
Okay.
That's fair. Didn't anticipate the beauty of the land. I was not sure, especially on the west side there.
West side!
West side!
West side, what up?
And that's natural.
Okay. You got a good list there.
Just nothing's popped in.
Things are thinking, yeah, no, that's good. I think for me, I definitely anticipated. I anticipated the amount of work that it would take. I knew that we were gonna have to, like, due to the fact that we didn't do any really pre-scouting.
Yeah,
we did a little bit via Google Earth, but you can only do so much on that, right? Without being the terrain.
Well, you can do more on Google than you can on ArcGIS, apparently.
Yeah, what a crock that has been.
On the iHunter app? It's a good app, but the mapping...
The app idea is really good.
Yeah.
However, the map
the Google
that
needs
have,
to be cacheable, not ArcGIS.
Yeah. Which maybe will come in an update or something. I don't know.
Probably copyright issues.
Yeah, probably. I did anticipate. Actually, I don't know.
Let me throw this one here. Sure. I did not anticipate not hearing wolves at night.
You know what? I actually didn't even put any thought into it.
I anticipated hearing wolves at night, and we have yet to hear them.
I anticipated seeing a lot more bear sign.
I anticipated seeing a bear.
Yeah, you did. You even brought your tag out.
Of course I did.
Well, not everybody would.
Well, to be fair, I'm not everybody.
No, you are definitely not. I anticipated at least seeing more cows.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about bovine creatures. I'm talking about elks here. I'm talking about wapiti. I think in my mind, now and again, I had talked to a lot of people that have hunted this area, and they all said the same thing. You know, it's very, very hard hunting, and you'll be lucky if you see one. But I felt like we were going at a good time from the intel you had collected and intel I had collected, that we were going to be going at a good time.
And plus, you know, life and work and such.
Yeah.
It was time to go.
It was a good time to go, and it worked kind of for both of us. And
yeah.
And I mean, there's only a week left in archery.
After Sunday. And it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. But yeah, so I definitely anticipated those things. I did not anticipate the inconsistency in the land.
Yeah. Okay. That's, I'll add my name to that list.
I did not anticipate the, the sheer harshness of what we were going to walk through. And I guess maybe that could go into the, or this point could go into the inconsistencies. Like one cut that is a kilometer away goes from being like the Big Buck Ridge or Big Buck Cut is a beautiful cut to walk up. It's dry. It's shorter grass. It's, you can get down there pretty quietly. A kilometer away, less than a kilometer away, the next cut, swamp everywhere. You're walking through 12-foot tall weeds.
And then you get through that, and it's an old logging road.
Yeah. But it's all overgrown.
And but like I said before, then there's that game trail through there, which is like an old cow path.
No, I was talking about the next cut, the swamp cut that we were walking through. Big Buck Cut is nice to get up.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to get in.
Yeah,
and even
that
cut, that
swamp, but then you get past there, which is inconsistent.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even talking about that swamp.
I know, but you were talking about inconsistencies. So
yeah,
I
thought
I'd mention the next one that's inconsistent.
I got you. I was talking about the swamp we went down today and turned back.
Oh,
that ankle breaker.
That's gross.
Yeah, that was terrible. But all in all,
you haters that are listening to this saying you guys aren't real hunters, you know what? Bite me.
Hey, come walk in my burnt boots.
Yeah, you burnt your boots.
Yeah, that happened.
That's not on the podcast yet.
That's not on the podcast. So we were...
You melted those boots, those Irish setters.
We were trying to dry out as fast as we could.
Because we were wet.
We were wet and we wanted to go back hunting, but we couldn't because we had wet feet and everything else was wet.
And it was raining and snowing. Oh, it was snowing.
It was snowing. Yeah, we got some snow. Snow coming from the sky. Boots got a little too close to the fire and we stoked the fire and I didn't think to move them back and they singed a little bit on the outside, just on the top of the cuff, like where the boot actually ends. So I think they'll be fine. They've performed up to this point. Actually, I was going to say this today. They're actually more comfortable now because
it's worn in.
Well, no, when it got hot, like the inside of the boot curled out. Oh. So it doesn't put so much pressure on the top of my ankle. It's actually been really nice.
There you go. How about that?
So
perfect.
It's a tradition now for me to burn boots on a hunting trip, I guess, because I burnt boots in caribou camp, which wasn't my fault. Tent caught on fire. I burnt my Irish setters, my last set, a little bit on camp stove fire. And then now here. So I think it's just becoming a thing.
Well, we can end that.
Yeah, but traditions.
Traditions. That wouldn't be a bad tradition to end, though.
No, it wouldn't be.
I'll say that.
Well, neither would the wet feet thing.
Yeah, well, new time.
Yeah, we all have downfalls in life. Mine's burning boots, and yours are getting at least one wet foot.
At least one wet foot. But they weren't squishy this time.
No, they were not
squishy. Praise God.
PG, baby, that's the Lord's work.
That's the Lord's work right there, boy.
All in all, though, I am... very, very happy with our trip. I think for first time elk hunters, especially in a terrain like this, honestly, I think we picked the hardest elk hunt to go on in Manitoba.
Well, I think so too.
I don't think Interlake, pending getting private land permission, would be nearly as hard.
Permissions.
I don't think Brandon would be nearly as hard pending private land permissions. Mm-hmm. But I think to hunt the Duck Mountains in the way we've done it, I think we've done a lot of good. We've gained a lot of valuable experience for next elk season, should we draw. I think we have a better idea of what to do starting on day one next year. As where this year we were kind of, you know, fumbling.
We kind of came in blind with a
very blind
intel.
Very, very blind.
We were blessed to find a good camping spot, at least.
And that changed the day we left.
Yeah.
Like, actually, halfway through our trip, our drive-in.
Through our trip.
We were like, oh, we're changing camp spots.
Yeah.
I
was like, okay.
So, we came in here very blind, which sometimes isn't the worst thing. It makes you come in with an open mind.
And I really like this camp spot, honestly.
I do, too. It's been beautiful.
It's a bit tough to get in, so we have had zero traffic.
Minus one Altima.
One Al. Oh, yeah. I can't even talk. One Ultima from my cousin Zach.
That shout out bombed to it through here.
Stud.
What a legend.
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 Yeah, he'll be coming on.
Ain't no thang.
Ain't no thang for that little Ultima.
Mudhole?
Nah. Nah, we got it, bro.
Get by hole.
Yeah. Mudhole, you mean I'll easily make it through hole. You mean that pothole is what... I think that's what I heard him say as he was driving.
Sorry,
out.
What?
Mudhole?
You guys...
Pothole.
You guys struggle with them trucks? What? I got this car here,
I don't know why we own trucks. I just own dang Ultima.
Hey, boys!
Yeah. Shows up in camp drinking our liquor and got a fire rolling for us, though. I was pretty pumped with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I was pretty happy with that. It was good to see him.
Yeah, it was good to see him.
Yeah, shout out to that guy.
You don't even know him. He's my cousin.
Yeah, I feel like he's a great guy.
I would say so.
Like I said, all in all, I'm happy. I think we've gained a lot of experience, and I think we're setting ourselves up for a successful future in elk hunting, in Manitoba elk hunting.
Manitoba.
But it's been hard work. We have hunted hard for the last 6 days.
Yeah, and we'll continue until we leave.
And we will continue until the day that we leave.
Whichever day that is.
Whatever day that is.
Whether it's Friday or whether it's Sunday or Saturday or whatever.
Thursday or Monday. Or Sunday, or whatever day. In 2 months, I don't know. We might just stay. Might get on the elk.
Okay.
I'm joking. Hunting season ends in a week. Archery season ends in a week.
Well, a week and a few days.
Yeah.
Our thoughts? Well, I guess by the time this gets uploaded, probably in a week or less.
Yeah, it'll probably be a week by the time we're uploaded.
Whatever the day is. Look at the guide.
Yeah.
Shower thoughts?
Yeah, go on, check out the PDF. Shower thoughts. I'm excited to get home and shower.
Hey.
I'm loving my time out here, though, so don't take it as that I haven't enjoyed this trip. It's been a blast to, get off work and just be out and enjoying Mother Nature and working hard and having fun doing it. But I am excited to get home and get the funk off me and get this 6 going on 7 day hair out of the way.
Yep.
I can shave now, so I told myself I wasn't going to shave until I killed an animal, so we can check that off the list. I don't think I will shave, but I feel like I can now. Like, the option is there,
You could do something with it now.
Mm-hmm. So, other than that, you, shower thoughts?
I don't know. Just glad we're out here, glad we're learning, and... It feels kind of weird to be punching tags early on whitetails, but that's the way she goes. And, man, I'm excited to get home and start shooting geese, honestly. And that's natural.
See, you've been eyeing up every waterfowl that
crosses over.
Anything that even sounds remotely close to a waterfowl, you are putting the old...
I'm looking. I'm looking hard.
Little peepers on.
Anyways. That's that?
That's that.
Finish your ribbons?
Keep your sticks on the ice.
Out.